Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. You may be seated.
You can open God's word this morning to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, we'll pick up where we left off last week in verse 22 through 31. And what I want you to see this morning from this passage, from Jesus' teaching, is this: God's solution to our anxiety. God's solution to our anxiety. And you don't have to pretend like you never get anxious. You don't have to pretend like you never worry, because I know that you do. And I know that I do as well. In fact, anxiety and worry is a part of this world and this life that we live. In a Genesis 3 world since the fall, there are things in this world, situations, circumstances, that will bring about anxiety and worry. So is there anyone in the room this morning, as you're turning in your Bible, that would say you never struggle with anxiety? Phobias, stress, fear. It can even be, for some, emotional disorder, panic attacks, tension, trembling, angst, just a jumpiness, not able to sleep, anxiety. And Jesus speaks to this common problem. Did you know that among all the medications that are sold, among all the medications, the number one top-selling medication is, it's antidepressants. It's anxiety medications. And it has been for years. So this is a real common problem, isn't it? Now, I think it's interesting that Luke, who was a medical doctor — we sometimes think that those in the first century, that the Bible is naive about things that we know today. And let me just kind of clarify. There is no ignorance in Dr. Luke. He understood physical problems that people had. And when Jesus opened his mouth and began to teach about anything, and this morning specifically about anxiety, the good Dr. Luke knew that the great physician Jesus knew what he was talking about. And so this morning, I want to encourage you just to listen to Jesus. In fact, just forget about all the other things you've heard about anxiety and fear and all of this stuff. And I just want you to simply listen to Jesus. And I want you to trust that he knows more than anybody else. You think he doesn't? You think God, the Son, the second person of the Holy Trinity, doesn't know about the solution to anxiety? You think not? You think we've advanced beyond him? And so I hope this morning is a breath of fresh air, an encouragement for you to know you don't have to just manage anxiety. You can walk in freedom from anxiety, and you can progressively experience that more and more. I mean, no one will perfectly never worry or be afraid. In fact, you're not going to be able to get away from the temptations of anxiety for sure. But here's what Jesus says. He doesn't say, look, you're just going to have to cope with it, and here's some things that you can try and just try to manage this. He says that there is such a thing as anxiety-free living, and we can grow in that and mature towards that. And he's going to teach us how. He's going to talk to us how. But before we read the passage, you got an outline when you came in? Take out the outline. I hope everybody got one. If not, then in the weeks to come, be sure you get an outline. They have them there at the door. And if you don't have something to write with, maybe next week you can. But if you have something to write with, I want to encourage you. You can see there in the notes section that I've provided a little place for you to write some things down. I'm going to give you about 30 seconds. Nobody else will see this. I mean, I'm not going to ask you to pass it up and read it and say, well, here's what Jay Benefield said. Okay, I'm not going to do that. But here, just for you, okay? And you, just for you. Nobody look on somebody else's next to you. And if you don't have something to write with, you can just think about it, okay? Here's what I want you to do. What causes you personally, not the person next to you, but you personally, what causes you personally the most anxiety and worry? Nobody else is going to know, just between you and God. What is it that you most worry about, that you're most anxious about? I mean, it could be a lot of things, right? And I'm sure there's going to be even more than you can think of in the moment, but this is just a starting place. Okay, what is it that you struggle with the most, that brings you the most angst, that brings you the most worry? All right, and so as you continue to write, I'm going to pray and just pray for God to help all of us with our anxieties and our worries. Father, we need you this morning, specifically in this area. And so we confess to you our angst and our worry, and we confess to you that all of us in this room have given in to anxiety. We've not just been tempted, we've given in to it before, some of us in greater degrees than others. And Lord, we recognize that we're complex beings, that we have a body and a soul, Lord, and we realize that even our body can be affected by angst and worry, and we acknowledge that we're whole beings. And God, we acknowledge that our body and soul have been affected by the fall and sin. And also, God, we acknowledge that we have not trusted you fully and completely. None of us in this room has perfectly trusted you. If we did, we would not worry at all. And so we confess our sin of worry. Lord, I confess my sin of worry and angst. And so would you strengthen our faith? Would you help us to see this morning how valuable we are in your sight? Would you help us to see the glory? It's amazing for me to even say it, God, but the glory that you have created us to embody. We know that it's not a glory in and of ourselves. It's a glory derived from your glory as your image bearers. So help us to understand your love to a greater degree, and not just understand it cognitively, but experience it, and to experience it specifically in the areas that we struggle with the most. And so search our hearts, Lord. Search our hearts. Teach us, show us, and do the work in our hearts that only you can. And so we're listening to you now. Jesus, you're the great physician, the great psychiatrist. You're the great psychologist. You're the great counselor. You're the great medical doctor. You heal, you restore, you redeem, you renew. You are God, and we come to you for therapy this morning. You're our therapist, Lord. You're our Savior, and you are the King. And so we joyfully submit to you, and we want to joyfully obey you. And so, Lord, help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, would you stand with me as we read this passage together? And even before I make any comments, just hear it. As I read it, just hear the wonderful words of Jesus. And Jesus said to his disciples, notice, this is not just for everybody, because if you're not a follower of Christ, I mean, all you can do at best is manage your anxiety. But this is for his disciples. This is for those who are following him, who are his students, his learners, who've committed themselves. And he said to his disciples, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And if then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. You can be seated. Don't be anxious, Jesus says. And I'm sure that in the crowd of people that he was talking to, there were many anxieties and worries. You know, the word for anxious here is a word that means to be torn apart. To be torn apart. That's what to be anxious means, at least this aspect of it, to be torn apart inside. And if you've experienced anxiety, you know what that means, to be just torn, to be frazzled. Maybe the picture of this man and just what's going on in his mind would be helpful for you. To be worried is to not even be able to focus, not be able to concentrate. It's just an angst, a pain, even a mental pain and agony. And Jesus knows that there are people in the crowd that he's talking to that are struggling this way. Just as he knows this morning that you have struggles in this way in different capacities. And so he says, listen, there's good news for you. You ready? Don't be anxious. You don't have to be anxious. And when you hear this, don't hear, you know, don't be anxious. Hear Jesus, the Son of God, saying to you, listen, you don't have to be anxious. You can have anxiety-free living if, and this is the qualification, right? If you will listen to me, Jesus says. Which means you're going to have to cut out a lot of other voices, sometimes even your own. And you're going to have to listen to him, not just one time, but continually. It's going to have to be the habitual, continual pattern of your life. Because you've been listening to other voices so long that it has affected your mind, your brain, your physical body. It has. And so your mind needs to be renewed. It needs to be restored. It needs to be replenished. It needs to be healed. And hey, guess what? I'm the healer. And so listen to me. Do whatever it takes to listen to me. And here's where things start. I know sometimes you worry about what you're going to eat. Some of you worry about what you're going to eat way too much, Jesus would say. I mean, you're like, what am I going to eat for breakfast? What am I going to eat for lunch? What am I going to eat for dinner? What am I going to eat tomorrow? What am I going to eat next week? What's my family going to eat tomorrow? And so you work and labor and toil just so you can have something to eat. And Jesus would say, listen, life is more than food. We know it's not less than food. I mean, you have to eat. And thankfully, God has given us good foods, and there are varieties of foods. And maybe you're really hungry now, and you're like, shut up, Derek, so we can go to lunch. I'm not going to shut up. We've got about 50 more minutes. You ready? All right? He says, listen, don't you know that life is not less than food, but it's way more than that? So don't be anxious about what you're going to eat, and don't be anxious about what you're going to wear, your clothing. I mean, some of you walk into your closet and you're like, what am I going to wear today? I don't know. And then some of you, I'm not going to say it's mostly ladies because it's some guys too, you're going to look in the closet and you're going to turn around and say, honey, I don't have anything to wear. Oh, really? You don't have anything to wear? Okay. I have nothing to wear. And we're worried about what we're going to wear, what we're going to put on our body. And here's the thing. Life is way more than about what we wear. It's not less than that. And I'm glad you have on clothes today. I really am glad that you have on clothes. But here's the thing. You don't have to worry about what you're going to wear, Jesus says. Which, what is he talking about? He's talking about basic necessities of life. So if this is true for basic necessities, how much more so true is it for everything? How many of the things, maybe even some things you wrote down on your paper, how many of the things that you worry about, that you're anxious about, are the very things that are in some way touched by what Jesus is saying? Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. And then he gives an illustration, and Jesus is the great illustrator, isn't he? And he's so practical and so down to earth, he says, maybe you've heard them before. You've seen them before? They're ravens. They're birds. And there are a lot of them, especially at certain seasons and certain times. I remember last year there were ravens all across the land right behind the church facility. And you've seen them, right? They'll swarm in, just flocks of ravens. And think about ravens. I mean, who really likes ravens? Okay, a couple of you. Ravens, even according to the Old Testament, you've been reading Leviticus, if you've been going through the chronological Bible reading plan, even in the book of Leviticus, ravens are considered unclean birds. I mean, if God says they're unclean, they're unclean. I mean, they're scavengers. And here's the thing, Jesus says to worriers, if God feeds unclean birds, then what makes you think he's not going to feed you? I mean, think about it. What's more valuable to God? Ravens or Ronald? What's more valuable, ravens or Rebecca? What's more valuable? You see the point that Jesus is making. If he feeds the ravens, and the ravens, they don't even sow seeds. They don't sow seeds and they don't harvest seeds. They're not intelligent beings. Trust me, they're not intelligent beings like you are. You have an intellect. You have a will and your emotions. You're made in the image of God. They're not. And so, and if you think about this, even in relationship to last week, about this guy, this rich man who has a harvest, and he thinks, I'm going to put my harvest in barns, and I'm going to build bigger barns, because if I store up enough, then I'll have enough to eat when I'm old. And Jesus says, well, think about ravens. They don't have storehouses. They don't have, like, Raven Mart. You like Walmart? Well, welcome to Raven Mart. And here's how Raven Mart is able to have low prices. And here's how that Raven Mart can be a low price leader. Here's how. They have storage facilities like this. And they store up, and all the ravens are like, ah, ah, and they store it all up. And so when you go into Walmart to buy products, they have a sophisticated system behind the scenes, Sam Walton organized. And whenever they're out of products, the computer system will be like, bing. And they call Marker Bryant, and he gets a truck, and he goes to the supply house, and they bring new products. And Braden's like, yeah, we got it there on time. We still got some connections, okay? Listen, the ravens don't do that, do they? And yet they still have enough to eat. It's interesting, isn't it? They also don't have barns. The ravens aren't like, we need to stock up on some hay, and if we have enough stockpiled, then when Ron the Raven and Rachel the Raven retire, Ron and Rachel retire, the ravens, they'll have enough in their barns so that they can have enough to eat. The ravens don't think that way. And yet, ravens live until they die. That's probably the deepest point we'll talk about this morning. You ready? Let me say that again. Ravens will live. You ready? This is deep, Eric. You ready? Ravens will live until they die. You may want to write that down. And here's the thing. Here's what Jesus is saying. And so are you until I choose to bring you home. In fact, Jobish, you could sell everything. You could sell, if God told, I'm not saying that he is, but if God told you to sell everything, he would still give you food and clothing if he's not finished with you yet. And that's the main issue. You are here for a purpose. And until you fulfill your purpose, you're not going anywhere and nobody can take you. You understand that? And then if you are one of his disciples, if you're in Christ, when he takes you, you go to paradise. You go to be with him. And trust me, you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to be afraid of paradise. So you could literally, Jobish, sell everything if he wanted you to. I'm not saying that you should, but if he wanted you to and he called you to, and you would still have food and clothing because God is God and he takes care of his children until he's done with them. Isn't this just kind of simple on one level, but profound on another? And Jesus is saying, here's why you don't have to worry. You don't have to worry at all. I mean, think about the ravens. But then some people are like, yeah, but I don't know. They're still in the crowd and they're wrestling. They're thinking through what Jesus is saying. They're saying, I don't know. And he said, well, think about with me Solomon. You remember King Solomon from the Old Testament? King Solomon was the wealthiest man alive during his day. I mean, he had everything that you could imagine. Storehouses, barns, for sure, with gold and silver. And Solomon's clothing would have been sharper than Jordan Teele's clothing. It would have been just sharp. I mean, he had it all. He had it all. And Jesus says, but you know what about Solomon? Even Solomon is not clothed like the lilies. Now, lilies, it's not literally lilies like you and I think of them today. Lilies is just, it was a flower, of course. It's the kind of flower that grows up among the grass. You see the connection here in a moment when Jesus talked about the grass being thrown in the oven. We'll get there. But these lilies, these flowers, are the ones that you probably see springing up in your yard now. Have you noticed when it gets a little warmer? And I know in my front yard there's some purple little flowers. When I think of flowers, I think of my wife Heather. You know why I think of Heather when I think of flowers? It's because there's actually a Heather flower. Did you know this? Did you know this, Michael Holt, that there's a Heather flower? And you're looking at it right now, a Heather flower. Heather flowers are purple. Of course, they're pretty. And sometimes you might walk through an entire field of Heather flowers. It looks like this. They're just fields and fields of flowers, right? And Jesus says, listen, those flowers are clothed with greater beauty and color and intricacy than even Solomon in all of his glory. And so he says, think about this, Jesus says. What's more valuable? Flowers or this little girl amidst the flowers? Which one's more valuable? You tell me. Pop quiz. You ready? Pop quiz. What's more valuable, that little girl in the middle of the flowers or the flowers? What's more valuable, Heather or Heather flowers? And Jesus says, listen, there's no comparison. You are more valuable than flowers. What does valuable mean? We talked about this a couple weeks ago, right? Jesus is trying to make this point very strongly. You are valuable to God. You are worth something to him. You are made in his image. There is no part of the creation that is more important and more valuable than you, George Edward. There's no part of the creation that's greater than you as an image bearer of God. And so why would we spend our time worrying about what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear, what we're going to drink, when God takes care of the grass and he takes care of the birds? In fact, he says, think about this. Do you think that by worrying, you could add a single hour to your life? Do you think so? You think if you worried enough today, I mean, try it. Go home today and just lock yourself in your closet in your room, turn the lights out, So go in the closet in the room, turn all the lights out, and just get there and say, I'm going to worry myself. You might call it this. I'm going to worry myself to life. When in reality, what will you do if you do that? You will worry yourself to death. You will worry yourself not to life, but to death. But for some reason, we think, and we're messed up in our thinking in this way, aren't we? We think that by worrying, we can add to our lives, when in reality, it actually takes away from them. Don't you see that? Some people are worried sick. And Jesus says, you don't have to be. Some people worry themselves literally to death. If you went into the doctor, sometimes I wish flowers could talk. And sometimes I wish ravens could talk so that they could talk some sense into us. If you went into the doctor and you said, Doc, I think I'm having struggles with anxiety and worry. And he said, well, listen, here's what you need to do. You need to worry even more, and you need to be even more anxious, and that will help you to live a longer life. We take Blue Cross Blue Shields, just pay on your way out. Is that good medical advice? No, it's actually the opposite, isn't it? And if ravens could talk and flowers could speak, they would say to all of us, what Jesus is saying is true. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. And so, what did you write down? You don't have to answer out loud. What did you write down? In what way is what you wrote down touched by, connected to, what Jesus is saying? Now, he doesn't stop there, does he? He says, here's what you shouldn't be doing. You should not be worrying. And then he tells you what we should be doing. You ready? Here's what you should do. Do not seek out, don't run after what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. And here's how some people might do it. What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to wear? What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to wear? And they go to work and they're like, what am I going to do? And we're going to make this, we're going to get this. And it's 9 o'clock, we got to get this done by 10 o'clock. We got to be 11 o'clock. Some of you are getting worried right now. I'm worried. And you're saying, what am I going to do? I don't know what I'm going to do. And then you go home and go, I'm so tired. I can't even sleep. I'm going to eat something. And you just give me some more coffee, more tea. And some people live like this. And Jesus is like, whoa, hold up. And some people might try to talk to you, and you're like, whoa, hold on. I don't know if we can be friends anymore. Okay? Stop. He takes care of birds, doesn't he? Yeah. He clothes the flowers, doesn't he? Yeah. Then why do you act like Armageddon is on the verge? Why do you act like the sky is falling? What are you doing? And here's, he says, okay, so stop doing that. Don't seek after those things, because this is what the world does. This is what the nations do. This is what unbelievers do. This is what pagans do. This is what people do who don't know God. Here's the kicker. You ready? Who don't know God as Father. That's it. They don't know Abba, Daddy, Father. Because if they did, they wouldn't worry like this, would we? I mean, think about a good dad, a really good dad. I mean, think about the best dad that you can imagine. Now, here's the thing. This is an observation. This is a pastoral observation. You ready? Here's what I've observed. People who had wonderful Christian fathers, and I think it's the exception, but they're out there. People who had wonderful Christian fathers, I think, can hear the teaching of Jesus and understand and apply it much easier. Now, that doesn't mean if you didn't, you can't, because I think that you can. But if people who had a wonderful Christian dad, I think it's just like, first of all, if you have a wonderful Christian dad, what a gift from God. Wow. You're talking about being blessed to have a Christian dad? Who's there, who's affectionate, who lovingly disciplines you when you need it, who reads the word of God to you, who washes you in the scriptures, who prays for you and is interceding for you daily. What a gift. I mean, if you have that, then this teaching about God as Father and you trusting him just, I think it comes a little easier. Because if you had a good dad, you'd know this. If you needed something to eat, what good dad would not feed his baby? Well, there are some dads who won't, but not a good dad. I mean, what good dad would not do what this next father's going to do? What one wouldn't? Was the baby going to sit there in the cold of winter, screaming and crying out naked on the floor, and the dad's going to be like, I'm busy. I got to go to work to provide for you. Not a good dad. No way. Or the baby that's there on the floor just squalling, crying, no clothes, naked. And his dad doesn't even hear it because he's not even there. Not a good dad. And if that's true for a good dad, how much more true is it for the Heavenly Father, whose power is unlimited and whose love and goodness is perfect? Do you see what Jesus is saying? Don't you understand? Why are you so worried? Here's why, he says. Worry is two reasons. You want to write these down. Number one, it could be because of ignorance. It could be because of ignorance. If you just don't know these things that Jesus is teaching, all right? And so that's what part of, you know, learning God's word and his truth and his promises will do. It will inform our ignorant minds so that we can know the truth, and the truth will set us free, okay? But there's also another issue that Jesus addresses here. It's not always just ignorance. It can also be just a lack of faith. It can be a lack of faith. Now, notice what Jesus said in this text. He says, why do you worry about these things? O you of what? O you of little faith. Now, here's the thing. He's talking to people who have faith, Jeremy. So he's not saying you don't have faith. He's talking to believers who have faith. But here's what he's saying to believers who have faith. Your faith is small. Your faith is little. And that's why you're worried. And so, no one has perfect faith, and we can all grow in our faith. What we want is big faith in a big God. Do you see that? We need big faith in a big God, and he is big. And we need great faith in a good God, and he is good. Do you see this? It's either ignorance or it's a lack of faith, in which we all, at some point, have little faith. But guess what? The good news is, Jesus is saying, I'm going to teach you, I'm going to instruct you, and in doing so, your faith can grow. Your faith in me, your faith in God, your faith in the Father can increase, and you can have big faith. Big faith, grand faith, mega faith, from one degree of faith to another. And that's what it means to walk by faith, and sometimes not even by sight. Now, how does our faith increase? Well, if you're listening and not sleeping, here's how it increases. By you actually listening to the word of God, the word of Christ. And listening and believing and trusting. And not just hearing it, but doing and obeying and living based on it. So don't tell me, you know, you don't understand my anxieties and worries. Well, let me ask you this. Have you exhausted the word of God? Do you know every promise in the Bible? Do you? I mean, I don't. How about this? Would you say that you know the fullness of God's great character and loving power? And are you living in perfect obedience and faith in those truths day by day? Are you? I mean, the answer for all of us is no. And so we can all grow. And here's the thing. That's the solution to our anxieties. Don't you see that? The solution to our anxieties is what I think Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 is saying. It's on your outline, but here it is. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. You need to immerse yourself in the gospel, in the word of Christ, in the love of God, in his truth, not just in order to be saved, but also in order to grow in sanctification. Cut out all other voices and embrace his voice for anxiety-free living. I think also Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, and not only that, but that he rewards those who seek him. He rewards those who seek him. Do you believe that? There is great reward if you would seek him. And that's what Jesus closes with, right? Do not seek after what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear, who's this, how I'm going to do this. Here's what you do. Seek first the kingdom of God. That's it. Seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added. Okay? That's it. All right, so some of you may be thinking, what is the kingdom of God? I hope you're thinking that, because it is so important. If Jesus is saying, seek the kingdom, and that's how, then you need to ask, what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is the rule and reign of God in the hearts of his people and in his community. Jesus is the king of a kingdom. And Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. It's not an American kingdom or an Asian kingdom or an African kingdom. It's an eternal kingdom that has no end. And he's the king. He's the ruler. He's the Lord. And in seeking his kingdom, you would joyfully submit yourself with joy, not you would joyfully submit yourself to him and say, is there anything in my life that I'm not obeying you in? Because I'm just going to tell you the first time, your disobedience will result in greater anxiety. No question. Your disobedience will result in greater anxiety. And he's saying, you don't have to be anxious anymore. So, unless you're perfectly obedient, you're going to have the temptation of anxiety and worry. And here's the thing, none of us are. But you know what? You can become more obedient. You can become more obedient. Not in order to be saved. These are people who already know God as Father. Even if you have a small faith, you are in Christ. We're talking about growing in faith, getting a bigger faith. And that's sanctification. It's progressive. It's never perfected in this life. But it is progressive, so you can worry less. You can be anxious less. And you can reach maturity to where anxiety and worry don't dominate and rule your life anymore. Okay? A mature believer can live a life in which anxiety and worry does not dominate them anymore. Now, there's always going to be temptation. And there's always going to be the giving in of that temptation until we are perfected. But Jesus says, you don't have to worry. So don't worry. Don't be anxious. And on the other hand, so put off anxiety and put on the seeking of the kingdom and obeying the king and living for his rule and reign on this earth. Telling others about him, helping others to grow from anxiety to security. What's the opposite of anxiety? I don't know. I'm just going to throw some things out. You ready? From anxiety to security. From worry to peace. From angst to rest. I think of 1 Peter 5, don't you? 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. Casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Don't you see how much he cares for you? Philippians 4:19. And my God, he will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And by the way, his riches and glory are sufficient for your needs. And so you don't have to worry. Seek the king. Submission to him, obedience to him. Lord, is there anything in my life that's stirring up this anxiety? And then what do you want me to do? How can I begin to share your truth, your love, your grace with others? How can I begin to help others to mature and grow? How can I be a part of advancing your kingdom to the ends of the earth and right around me? So these are the questions you need to be asking. Colossians chapter 3 says it this way, kind of the same thing. Paul is in a different way saying what Jesus is saying in Luke 12. Here's what he says, Colossians 3, 1 through 2. If then you have been raised with Christ, and if you're a Christian, you have. You've been raised with Christ. Seek, there's the word, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above and not on things that are on earth. Here's your struggle, my struggle with anxiety. We keep setting our mind on things below. Things like this, you ready? What am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? What am I going to drink? Where am I going to live? Who's going to be my friends? Who am I going to marry? Will I ever get married? What if I lose my job? What if I get a promotion? What if I get cancer? What if I have a heart attack? What if my spouse dies? What if I'm in a car accident? What if someone I love is in a car accident? What if I lose my hair? What if I start growing hair out of my ears? I mean, right? These are just things that we worry about. And Jesus is saying this, listen, you don't have to worry about that. And here's the ultimate solution, right? The reason why we've been raised with Christ is because he was raised from the dead. And by the way, the death thing is at the root of all our anxiety and worry. This is why antidepressants and anxiety medications are the top of the chart. You know why? Because every human being, in their conscience, in their soul, knows that there's a God and they have to stand before him one day. And they know that before they stand before him, they will die. And if you don't have a solution to the death problem, you're anxious and worried about death, aren't you? And nobody can help you with that, can they? No doctor can help you. No parent can help you. You're going to die. And here's the thing. The solution to our anxieties is Christ. He is the only one who's overcome death in the resurrection. And if you put your faith in him, you trust in him, I'm telling you, this is true. If you trust in Christ, there is nothing to be anxious about. Nothing. Nothing. And your life is seated with Christ in the heavenly places. And here's what you do, Christian. You set your mind on things above. And every time these earthly temptations and thoughts for worry come in your mind, you take them captive to obey Christ. Because your life is hidden with Christ, and you set your mind on things above, and you become so heavenly minded. Watch this. Don't believe the lie opposite. You become so heavenly minded that you actually become earthly good. Some people would tell you, that person's so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. I'm sorry, that's not true. Colossians chapter 3 says, you ought to become so heavenly minded that you actually become earthly good, and you're not afraid. And you don't make decisions based on fear and finances and people and what they think and what you said. And you can walk by faith in the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. Let's pray. Father, Abba, I pray that if there's anyone in this room who doesn't know you and the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of your sufferings, I pray that in this moment, by your grace, you would lead them to repentance and saving faith, even if it's mustard seed faith, Lord. And by the way, if that's you, then there's a card in the Bible in front of your seat, and I want to encourage you to fill that card out and turn it into the offering basket, because the first step of obedience is baptism. And or you can come talk to me or Butch or Eric or really anyone else who can direct you in the proper steps now of obedience as a believer. And Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters in this room, Lord, that you would help me to grow in faith. Give us mega faith, big faith, stronger faith. Lord, strengthen our faith, even as we sing this next song. Lord, I pray for your people that you would alleviate anxiety and worry. Lord, even supernaturally on some of their behalfs, Lord. And give us grace to hear your voice among the many voices. I pray for that person who, even in this moment, is thinking, yeah, Jesus said that, but God, help us not to but anything that you say. There are no buts, oh God. And so we want to trust you. And we want to trust you more, Abba Father. You are big, you are great, and we want to have great faith in you, our sovereign God. And we know you are not only sovereign and you rule and reign over everything, but you're also good. So we trust you like the ravens and like the flowers. Would you stand with me and sing as we all respond to what the Lord is doing in our life and heart by his Spirit?